Let us pray together. Merciful God, again, our Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you again that we have this moment in time that we can reach into the Word of God and have the Word of God reach into us, bringing us, Lord, to a place of spiritual growth and manifesting those things that we have prayed for and those things that have been promised to us. We thank you, Lord, for health and strength. We thank you, Lord, for those who've gathered around us who make our lives feel more complete. We pray, God, that as we are searching the scriptures in this hour, that you would bring revelation to us. Moreover, God, we pray that we would find the resources that we need to live this life in holiness and that we might find those things needful for the journey. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins and certainly, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us. Cleanse us, we pray, from the unrighteousness of this world, that we would know and live and be the light of the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you in advance for what we are going to learn today, and we pray that in our learning, our living will change as well, and that someone would ask us, what must I do to be saved? Save someone today, Lord, we pray that we will continue to do kingdom works to your glory. This is our prayer. This is the demonstration of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. God bless you. How many of us took advantage of the two things we learned last week, being detailed in our desires and having our sure objectives? How many of us enjoyed that? Okay, very good, very good. What we want to do today is go a little bit further, and we're going to go over I wanted to finish up with Matthew 18. Let's go back there. And I want to give you a little bit more insight there. And then we're going to go over into a few more scriptures and talk about some more things. Amen. So let's go back and look at Matthew 18. And we're going to talk about a couple more things in that particular setting. And particularly, we want to look at verse 18 of Matthew 18. And it says this in the New Living Translation. He said, whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. Now, I want you to understand something that maybe we haven't talked about enough in the body of Christ. And this is something that we really need to take advantage of. And this is the fact that God has given you authority. I was waiting on some more amens right there. Oh, your hair looks nice. God has given us authority. He says whatever you prohibit, whatever you don't want to happen, whatever you put a stop to, whatever you say is ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, unfair, if you prohibit that, if you make a declaration to put it to an end, God said, I'll back you up in heaven. Now, how many of us have ever said to ourselves, the world is getting worse and worse? How many of us have ever said to ourselves, how does stuff like that happen? How many of us have ever said to ourselves, Lord, what can I do to make a difference? Well, here's our answer. We've got God's backup. We've got God's authority to put an end to the whatevers. And you can't do it by yourself. And if you read the scriptures very carefully, you will discover that it's a union effort. Because when we get in a little further, he's going to start talking about us agreeing, working together. And the truth of the matter is, I am really convinced and concerned all the same that the church has allowed too many things to happen. And we didn't take an active role in putting a stop to it. I think the church has laid down on this authority, and we need to pick that back up. We have the highest authority in all the land at our disposal, and that is the power of God. Amen. The power of God is the greatest authority in all the land, and it's ours. And he says, if you would just take advantage of this, I'll honor it in heaven. So you can start in your own household. I said this to you last week, and I'll say it to you again. If you want to have a better wife, a better husband, better children, better family, you start with the authority given to you in Christ Jesus. The two things we gave you last week, which I really believe that if you take advantage of them, they're going to change your life. One, you've got to be detailed in your desire. You don't have to talk to God in a waffle language. You don't have to talk to God as if he's going to say you're asking too much. You can be detailed, and he wants you to be detailed. When you say to God, let your request be made known to him. How many of you have ever gone to a restaurant, ordered something, didn't come like you wanted, and you sent it back? Because that's not what you asked for. Then of all the places to not take advantage of that kind of blessing and that kind of authority, why do that with God? Be detailed. You don't want to be sick? Tell God, Lord, I don't desire sickness. Lord, I've got a life to your glory. Now, don't make it just selfish. Don't say, Lord, I plan to go to the beach this weekend. I don't need to be sick. No, let it be something that gets God the glory. And I'm sure God will glorify you in your request. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a little selfish sometimes, because we all are at times. But what I'm saying to you is you've got to be detailed with God concerning your children, concerning your husbands and your wives, concerning your employment, concerning the things in your ministry, concerning your life as a servant of God. Vision yourself daily. Every day you got to have a vision, because you can only go after what you believe you can get. That's detail. One of the things we'll talk about this little piece and a little peep over into the sermon today is you've got to start using your spiritual imagination to get to your spiritual destination. That's good preaching right there. You got to do it. You will never see yourself in a place that you can't see yourself. You won't try to get there. You'll never own what you can't see yourself owning. How many of you ever seen a place start out really wonderful and turn into a mess? Let's look at people get a nice house. How many of you ever seen people move into a nice house and in 2 years you go, my God. You know what's wrong? You know what happens in the imagination. They move into a place that they really don't think they deserve to be, or they can't see themselves living like that. So what they do is they go back to what they're familiar with. You ever heard that saying? You can take somebody out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of somebody. You know, we do that to ourselves. You've probably done it yourself. How many of you ever given somebody something really nice? And in short order, you look at it and go, oh, good Lord. What'd they do to it? You almost want to take it back and polish it back up and say, this is how it could be. That's in your imagination. You've got to see yourself in a place. You got to see yourself being a spiritual warrior before you get engaged in warfare. You can't win when you see yourself as a loser. And the scriptures say that you're more than a conqueror. God says, I love details. So you ask and it shall be given. If you seek, you'll find. You got to know what you're looking for to find what you're looking for. How many ever stood in front of the refrigerator and just looked at it? I'm hungry, but I don't know what I want. And you actually end up closing it, walking away, saying, well, I'm going to think about it a while. Or we stand there looking in the cupboard. All of those canned goods, all of those pickles, and all of those raisins, and all that. And you're just standing there going, I don't know what I got a taste for. No, I don't want that. Then you look at the barbecue chips, and then you look at the saltine crackers, the Ritz crackers. You look at the sardines, the Vienna sausage, the potted meat product. And you just can't figure it out. So you know what you need to do? Go sit down and get your details straight. Sometimes the details, watch this now, you might as well say amen when I say it. Sometimes you skip over the things you desire because it requires more effort. You want pancakes, bacon, and all that, but you know how much effort that takes. So you get a Pop-Tart and put syrup on it. Come on. See, this is what we're doing in the body of Christ that we got to stop doing in order that we can fulfill our ministry. Don't let the fact that what you desire requires more work keep you from getting it. Jesus says you've got to work while you've got the light of day. He said that laborers are going to get their reward. Know ye that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That sounds like work, doesn't it? Don't get lazy and miss your details. Sometimes when we get to a place in our lives where we want things to come to a stop, we don't do what it takes to make it stop. It's right there in the scripture. He said, whatever you prohibit, you're going to have to work to stop some things. Many of our lives have been delayed and we've taken detours because we allowed things to happen. Everybody looking down, might as well look up. We allowed, we didn't prohibit it. We didn't use the power of God. We didn't take Matthew 18 and say, you know what? I'm going to do this. Enough of this. I'm the last one in my family that's going to have to deal with this. My children, you got to, whatever you prohibit, whatever you put an end to on earth, God said, I'll honor it because I've given you that authority. And I told you before, word and prayer. God has no problem with you opening your dialogue with him by saying, Lord, you said. It's in red. What's red, he said. Amen. Old preacher taught me that. If it's red, he said. And you can say, Lord, you said, if I prohibit this. Notice he didn't put a list of things that you couldn't prohibit. And he didn't say these are the only things you can prohibit. Y'all ain't shouting like I thought you would. This is good teaching. You can stop anything you want to stop with a good foundation in the word and go to God and say, Lord, you said I was designed not to have cancer. I was designed not to have high blood pressure. And Lord, I'm going to put a stop to it. Now, that don't mean I'm going to throw my medicine away, but I'm going to do what I need to do because a lot of what we deal with, we did it to ourselves. We didn't eat right. We didn't exercise. Y'all ain't talking to me. We didn't treat our spouses right. We neglected our children. We didn't show up to work on time. We didn't pay our bills. And when all that stuff comes, then we sit there, Lord, this ain't right. Lord, make it go away. God ain't going to kill them people for you. A good steward is a good steward. You can't be a good steward in some part of your life and be reckless in another part and want God to just take care of the wrecked up part. That's like telling somebody the tower only flat on the bottom. That was a joke, y'all. Y'all have no sense of humor. You never heard that? It's only flat on the bottom. Well, you roll it over and see what happens. You be going down the road, go bloop, 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 bloop. And the reality is, God says, I'll give you this authority, but you've got to be a good steward over this. How many of you have ever seen someone, once they get in charge, they get stupid? They can't handle authority. You work with somebody all your life, and then when they got to be supervisor, all of a sudden, they know all the rules. They checking time cards and peeping around the lunch room and say, oh, you still on break? Well, we used to chill out of here for hours. It can't handle authority. God said, don't you do that. Can I tell you one of the reasons God has not given us unlimited authority? Because he can't trust us with unlimited authority. That's why he puts limits on us to save us from ourselves. Amen goes right there. So he said, this is what you have to do. Now, the next thing that we want to dig a little bit deeper into is where he says this. He said, listen, where two or three, verse 20, where two or three gather, watch this now, together because they're mine. We need to work on our relationships. Let's work on our relationships because in order to have a good foundation, we've got to make sure that we're uniform. We're in unison. We're working in the same vein. We got to work on relationship. Why? Because we all belong to God. There's just one Lord. One heaven. You know, it's not going to be like when, you know, down here, where you got the Boonesboro and then you got the James Crossing, then you got the Diamond Hill, then you got Darrington. No, it's just going to be one heaven. There won't be no redlining and no zip code, and we just going to all be. And we need to learn to work on our relationship. He said, and we need to come together Because that's the common thing that brings us together. Really, in this room, at this hour, most of us only met each other because of Christ. There'll be no other reason for me to have really met Lloyd or to met Addison or to met Sister Susan or Sister Price. But we are here because we all belong to God. We all love the Lord. So if we work on our relationships, and he said, listen, you've got to come together because you're his. One way that we have neglected the foundation of God is we've got too many divisions. We've got too many schisms and we've got cliques and all that kind of stuff, you know. And one of the things that I did when I came to be pastor here is we got rid of having multiple choirs and multiple ushermen. And not everybody liked it. But I thought that, you know, we work better as one. We don't have to have competition, you know, on the third Sunday I go because they sing better. And on the fourth Sunday, the men. No, we're going to have one group doing everything well. I thought it worked out pretty good myself. You know, we don't have to. Well, usher bowl number three is better than usher bowl number two. And usher bowl number four need to be disbanded and join usher bowl number three. Because ain't but three. You know, that's crazy. Let's just everybody usher. And all us in the choir. You know, choir number five sing better than choir number. You know, and then churches got real fancy. When you made it into the gospel choir, you were really it. You know, because that was the best. Man, that gospel choir. No, the mass choir. Well, why don't we just mass everybody? Because divisions cause us problems. How many of you remember growing up when you were younger and hearing grandma and them say, now, what choir singing today? Lord, child, it's going to be a long Sunday. I'm the only one? Okay, thank you. Lord, why they still got that senior choir? They know they done all lost it. They all in the wrong octave. Lord, they try the best they can. And the reality is, God says you got to stay together because it's just one us. So our foundation will be a lot stronger when we're all together. Amen. Remember now, we got to have a sure objective. How can we have a sure objective if everybody going different ways? We got to all see GBC as one kind of GBC. We got to all see your life like you want to see your life. That's why, again, the Bible says, let your requests be made known. You know, when you share with people, they can kind of help you get there. How many of you have ever blessed somebody with something that you no longer had need of? And when you came to know they needed it, you had no problem saying, well, listen, I can help you with that. Child, I got one of them things sitting. I ain't know you needed that. Knowledge is power. How many of you have ever helped somebody with something you already knew? So, well, oh, I know how to do it. Shoot, come here. Let me help you with that. Teachers do it all the time. But you know, all of us can teach somebody something. Some of us are struggling with simple things that have become complex to us. And there's somebody sitting right next to you that knows how to figure that out and say, I know how to do that. Parents do it. Young mothers who hang out with older mothers tend to be better mothers. Your baby get a fever. You don't rush to the emergency room. Somebody say, child, let me tell you what to do. Get you a little of this and rub it up under his chin. You know, all that kind of stuff that old folk do. You know, it's a wonder we didn't die with some of the stuff they did to us. But really, it worked out better, didn't it? The old hiccup thing. Remember the old hiccup? You know, they put a little cross in your head. Okay, they got all kind of little tricks they do to you. And it works. I mean, I don't know. But the reality is, that what we have to do is help each other get to their objectives. That's why when we're praying, as touching and agreeing. I mean, sometimes there's some things you're praying about, maybe you don't want to share, but the reality is there's a scriptural reference that says, listen, if you let me know, you never know who can bless you till you tell them how you want to be blessed. Your answer might be sitting right next to you on any given Sunday. But if you stuck up, got poor relationship, I just go to that church. I don't know none of them people. You're crazy. You know how many blessings you sitting by every Sunday? You walk in the church and you hungry and people got food they get ready to throw away. Or got an extra car sitting in the driveway. They keep saying to themselves, I want to give it to somebody, but I want to give it to somebody that's worthy. Because you ought to do that. That's good stewardship. Don't cast your pearls to the swine. Oh, I got stuff I'm holding on to because I'm waiting on a worthy person to come along. I know God blessed me with it. I'm not going to cast it to the swine. But if somebody walk up and say, you know, I need a lawnmower. I say, well, you know what? I got one I don't use. Somebody come to you and say, you know, my children are kind of growing out of this stuff. And I can't, you know, they might have layaway, but if you ain't got no layaway money, layaway ain't no good. But if you stand next to one of the sisters and say, you know, I need a jacket for little Raheem. And they look at you and say, I got four or five. Come on up to the house. Or next Sunday, I'll bring them to you. And then you don't show up to church next Sunday. You missed your blessing. Because anybody going to ride around with that coat in the car forever? And then you had a nerve to get mad. Talking about them church people didn't help me. Let your request be made known. That's why you got to be friendly. In order to have friends, you got to what? That's part of your foundation. All right, so he says we got to gather because we all belong to him. Now, we're going to go a little further. Let's go to John 14. John 14, go right. Now, this is this is one of my just got to be a blessing scriptures. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us in this room, because we're adults except for the one baby we have, or a couple of babies, most of us in this room have pretty much solidified our belief foundation. We're pretty much sold out that, you know, Jesus is Lord. We talked about it downstairs in Bible Academy. We established that God is sovereign. We established that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, crucified, buried, resurrected. We established that. And we pretty much say, you know, okay, we got that part. But I need you to understand something. You cannot allow this newfangled, new information and new revelation mess up your belief system. A couple of weeks ago, they throwed a new one at us, that Jesus had a wife. Y'all remember that one? So now we got to add that to what we believe about Christ. So now we got to believe that God is sovereign, Jesus was born of a virgin, crucified, and got married. From all the busy ministry things, Jesus all of a sudden got married and had a wife named Lily. We got to figure out how come she didn't put nothing in the book? You know, all that kind of stuff. Don't let this of your belief system. Let's just stick with what we know to be truth, established truth. Because, you know, that's the work of the devil, to come in and make us think all of a sudden God been holding back on us. He tried to tell Jesus that coming out of the wilderness. He said, well, you know, there's some things your dad ain't let you in on yet. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute, it's written. He didn't say, are you writing? He said, it's written. Don't be adding stuff to what my dad already, I know what my dad said. I didn't get that memo. So watch what he said. Everybody in John 14? All right, watch this now. Come to verse 11, John 14, verse 11. Everybody there? Now listen to this. He says, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of what you have seen me do. At least. That's minimal belief right there. In what we've seen him do. Now, how many of us can live and testify, or are living and can testify, that the Lord has done great things? Yeah. And now, watch this. Let me see if I can get you to come on around one more time. How many of us are living and can testify that it couldn't have been nobody but the Lord? Because if man had his way, you'd been cut off a long time ago, wouldn't you? Some of us would still be sitting in the room with a dunce hat on. Go to your room. Don't you come out till you get it right. Well, we would have never came out. Y'all remember that? Don't come out here till you get yourself together. We'd be like 60 sitting in the same chair. Sure, is he still in there? Yeah, he ain't never got it together. But God said, no, we're not going to do that to you. The reality for us is we should believe that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. We should believe not just because of what we've seen the Lord do, because that, you know, that's wonderful. But we got to believe that he is. Your belief system is going to shape your whole life. It's going to determine everything that you do as well as determine what you won't do. Now, don't miss that. What you believe, who you believe, why you believe, will shape everything you do as well as what you won't do. Why do you think we have a thing called atheists? Because what they don't believe shapes what they won't do. How many of you ever had anybody tell you, I ain't going to church, I just don't believe. It's what they believe. And it's determining the outcome ultimately of their life. One of the things I have learned about trying to help you is that all I am responsible for is the effort, not the outcome. I put it out there, you do what you want to do with it. I know the effort is sincere. But what you do with it, we left here, I got several messages and a couple of emails from people saying, Pastor, thank you. You really blessed my life. That made me feel good. You know, we bless some people's lives about details and outcomes and stuff like that. But let me tell you something. Unless you have established God as the be all end all, you still got a ways to go. And don't waste much more of your time trying to get it. He said, listen, you just got to believe. Now, what happens to us in this foundation building process is we get bombarded with a lot of misinformation, a lot of unnecessaries, a lot of things that really distract us rather than develop us. How about this argument? You weren't baptized in the name of Jesus. You ain't been baptized. You know, our Pentecostal apostolic brothers like to hit us with that one. But Peter said, Peter ain't the Lord. How does a servant overrule the sovereign? How many of you can go to your job tomorrow and change the modus operandi? You're just going to walk in tomorrow and say, listen, effective today, we're going to start. You think everybody's going to follow you, or they're going to say, you're going to get fired. You better go home. You're starting trouble on the job. Peter looking at the apostolic people going, that is not what I meant. I wasn't trying to change. Jesus said in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All I was trying to get y'all to understand is the sovereignty of Christ. I'm not starting a new baptism doctrine. How many of us ever heard that? You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, then we go through that. We went Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now we're going to kick the Holy Ghost out the whole matter and kick God. How are you going to take the front God out and the back Holy Ghost out and just hinge on the middle? I'd rather have three than just one. Considering the three are one. You know what I'm saying? You know. Hello out there in radio land. You know, so he said, listen, your belief system, because what we do has a lot to do with what we believe. So he said, all right, now you've got to understand that what you believe is about what you learn. Remember now, your living is a direct result of your learning. Again, some of us left last week with a new learning and we upped our living. We walked out of here saying, wait a minute. So you're saying that the simplicity of my strength is that I be detailed with God. Well, I'm going to try it and see what happens. And wow, this is working. So now if I set my sure objective, I don't want to just die and get pie in the sky. I want to live holy. So every day my objective is to be holy. And that means that whatever is unlike God, I stay away from that. Whatever doesn't sound like God, I won't say that. Whatever doesn't enter my ear gates like God, I won't hear that. And at the end of the day, my blood pressure was lower. I didn't need to take two BCs. I slept pretty good. I woke up feeling like going to work. I rolled over and looked at my spouse and said, hey. And they said, hey, how you doing? Because I had a sure objective. I didn't just throw it in the wind. I didn't just toss it up in the air and say, well, Lord, anyway. No. I don't want no anyway you bless me. I'll be satisfied. I want this. And Lord, you said I could ask for it like this. Amen. Remember that engine number 9 going down Chicago line? If the train go up the track, do you want your money back? Yes, and I'm suing. Not only am I getting my money, my lawyer will be calling y'all. Train ain't supposed to fall off the track. Y'all missed that. You gotta learn how to laugh. All right, watch what he said. Now watch this. Verse 12. Verse 12 says, let me slide my left. Verse 12 says, the truth is, I like that opening. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works. That speaks to the whole ministry of a church that is sold out for God. Anyone, that's you. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's you. You qualify, Lewis Davis, as an anyone. Vicky, you qualify as an anyone. Isn't that wonderful? Raven, Jasmine, Jennifer, Deacon Campbell, Susan, all of you, anyone who, that's who, you, believes in me. There it is. There's your belief system. I can do all things through Christ. Why? Because I believe in him. Nothing is impossible to them that, you're getting it. That's shouting stuff right there. We can go home now after the offering. You understand what he's saying to you? This is God. It's red. He said, God is telling you, here is the formula. And we don't even want to call it a secret anymore because it's out there. This is the formula. Anyone, you don't have to be a minister or a deacon or a trustee. So don't get bent out of shape because they don't pick you up, point you to something. Just be the anyone. You can be the one that takes this church to the next level. We can piggyback off your belief system. Because some of us are going to get it sooner than others of us are going to get it. In the military, we have a regiment that their motto is, follow me. Follow me. And if you just follow me, you'll get where I'm going. The Lord even said that. I have gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you'll be there also. How are you going to get there? Follow me. Follow me. Don't get off the path. Yes, the journey is long, fraught with danger, but I'm your battle axe in the time of war. I'm your bridge over those troubled waters. I'm the hedge round about you. All of these provisions have been put in place for you. All you got to do is follow me. Paul said it well. Paul said, listen, to know him in death and the power of his resurrection. Yeah, I'm going to leave here, but I'm going to get up like he got up. And when you know how you're going to finish, you don't have a problem fighting. I mean, come on, you know how you're going to finish? How many of you ever read a book and go to the end first and then go ahead and read the book? Because how it ends, it determines whether you're going to like the book or not. How many of you ever fast forward in on DVR? Just let me see how this is going to turn out because I ain't going to watch it if it's going to get. You know, I do it all the time. I like to know how this is going to end. Then the rest of it, I'm like, okay, this is life for us in Christ Jesus. We know the end. Oh, I thought y'all would smile. We know how it's going to turn out. And the dead in Christ shall rise. So what? I got whatever. We all going to die of something. But my belief system is for life right now. So what I'm believing God for, the truth is, he said, God is saying, I can't lie. I'm putting my name out there. He found no greater to swear by, so he swore by himself. The truth is, anyone who believes. And you know what I like about this one, Brother Melvin? It doesn't say how long you had to believe. Y'all missed a good shout there. That's for the newcomer. Let's say you can get in church today and start believing and you qualify for this kind of life. As my aunt would say, oh, sure now. This is what God is saying to the church. So why are we dragging the church through this long process? You got to be here a while. You ain't ready yet. Don't. Listen. God said, anyone who believed, if you walk up here today and say, Lord, I believe, you own.
Boy, that was close. It was. The pen was set six paces on. I hit three paces.
Notice, watch this. I like this part too. He said, listen, you'll do the same works. The church must be busy to God's glory. Why build this great foundation and we just going to sit on our duff? Why are we asking God to bless us with more and we don't want to do anything? Why would God open up the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings and we just go put them in a closet or storage room? That's why you can't get your car in your garage. You got all that stuff and you ain't doing nothing with it. Be a blessing. God said you'll do the same work. Jesus didn't just sit around letting people come bring him stuff and fans on him. Jesus, he went to work. He said, come on, we got to go to Samaria. Come on, let's go to Cana of Galilee. Come on, let's go back over to Bethesda. Let's go. And they were walking. They were like, man, this Jesus dude need to take some time off. Jesus said, all right, y'all go to the other side. Y'all need to rest. He said, I'm good. They said, Lord, you didn't get nothing to eat. He said, I got food y'all don't know nothing about. But I'm going to look out for y'all. He said, let's work. They were trying to bring folk and they were saying, go on back. Jesus is busy. He said, no. That's why we're here. Come on up here. The same work. What is he doing? You need to read the book. In order to do ministry, you need to read the manual. Heal the sick, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, widows and orphans. It's an outline. The church is not about just parking lots and pews. I've seen some churches that's beautiful. And every time I turn around, they're adding and putting. They ain't feeding nobody. They ain't trying to minister to nobody. They just trying to look glorious. They done added a new wing. And they'll name the wing this and name the wing. And how many people y'all feed? Well, we don't have no food ministry. Or do y'all have a clothing ministry? No, we don't have no clothing ministry. Do y'all do any outreach at all? We believe in people taking care of themselves because that's a sign of blessing. Anybody that's struggling is a sign of a curse. Oh, yes. You got church right here in your city. Y'all didn't know that? That's their philosophy, that if you're struggling, you're under a curse. And no, they ain't going to give you nothing. That's not God. That's man church. Yes, ma'am. That'd be a leadership issue. It is. Why do you think Jesus was so adamant about training the apostles so they would be able to show others? That's what Paul said. Look, okay, here's what we need to be doing. Peter and John, look on us. Jesus didn't just come walk up to him and say, bless you in the name of Jesus, or in my name, and go ahead. He said, follow me. Let me show you how to do this. It's right here. He said, that which you've seen me do. You'll do the same thing. How many of you have ever been given an assignment with not enough information to get it done? And you went back and said, excuse me, if you want me to really do this, you got to give me more than this. Amen. So what Jesus is saying is that which you've seen me do. Now, let's go back and look at what he just said in verse 11. He said, because of what you've seen me do. You know what that means? You got to watch. Got to pay attention. Look at Christ. What did Jesus do? That's why you read the book. You know, when they had those bracelets out, I should have did it anyway. I had a real smart retort. Instead of saying, what would Jesus do? I wanted to say, what did Jesus do?
That's what we need to be concerned about. What did he do? Because what would he do gives you an option to do it. But the text says, no, you do what I did. I should have put my bracelet out there. You know what I'm saying? He says, anybody who believes. Did they tell you where we were? I'm sorry. Okay. Anybody who believes will do the same. Listen, why are we sitting around trying to create new ministries when the ministry is already created? We don't have to come up with nothing new. It's a new time. Ain't no new time. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same old thing. We just got different people messing it up. That's all that is. Amen. You imagine what I was telling my wife this other day. We were watching television, and this guy, it was on CNN. Guy came on. Him and what's the rapper? White guy with the funny looking mustache, Kid Rock. One of them. I think that's one. Him and this guy are building houses. Is it Kid Rock? Yeah, they're building houses. Him and this entrepreneur guy, white guy out of Texas somewhere, they're building houses for veterans. And I said to my wife, if every person who was an entertainer or had money would read the scripture that said, to whom much is given, much is required, we could build houses for every veteran. We can build houses for anybody that need a house. To whom all these people sitting on money. Mitt Romney don't have to be president of the United States to bless America. When you got billions of dollars, just create a fund and just go out and do it. And don't worry about what you get for it. Donald Trump, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs gone. But you know, all of these, listen, if Apple really wanted to help America, they're talking about how much they're going to affect the gross national product because of them selling iPhones. Give them away. Build houses, build schools. Stop building prisons. You know, we build more prisons than we build schools. This scripture is the answer. That which we've seen him do. But here's the problem. Their belief system is jacked up. They believe in the God of green, not the God of grace and mercy. Mark my word. If everybody to whom much is given understood that much was required, Oprah, you know how much hell you got to go through to get money from Oprah Winfrey Foundation? Trust me. Go down there and ask Mr. Wilder. He'll tell you. It's ridiculous. For the little bit of money they're going to give you. Then they want to oversee it. Why would you give me something and tell me how to use it? I asked you for it because I knew how I wanted to use it. Stay with me, y'all. It's in the text. Anyone who believes. If you don't have the right belief system, you're not going to operate in a spiritual system. You cannot operate in a spiritual system with a secular mindset. Because the only time you give is because you're going to get something for it. That's not Jesus. Jesus gave and walked away from it. He said, we done what we're supposed to do. Let's go. Do you ever wonder what happened to those 12 baskets of food? They left them. Read the scripture. You didn't see them saying, well, man, we still got this food. It's going bad. They didn't need it. God used it as a principle to show that people. Can you imagine if all 5,000 besides men, women, and children who walked away, besides women and children rather, walked away from that and never forgot. First bless it, then break it. Their lives would never be the same. If we get that in our mindset, everything you get, take this as a teaching moment and take this as a life changer. From this moment on, from now on, anything you get, first thing you do, bless it, then break it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying bless it and then don't just keep it to yourself. Everything you get from here on in, bless it and break it. I don't care what you do. Whatever it is, give some of it to somebody else and watch what happens. Mark my word, it's going to change the rest of your life. Everything you get from here on in, before you put it in your pocket, before you run to the bank, bless it and break it. I've been doing it for years, and it blesses my life tremendously. I have no problem giving. Nothing. Car. Somebody told me the other day, they said, you crazy. You let somebody ride around in your Mercedes, you done lost your mind. I ain't lost nothing. I got another one in the driveway. I really got more stuff than I really need, to be honest with you. My wife keeps reminding me, you need to move that. The reality is clothes, money. I bailed a guy out of jail the other day that has no relationship with me whatsoever. The lady called me and said, my son is in jail. You're the only person I could think of. The Holy Spirit said to me right then, do it. I said, okay. She said, you're going to do it? She said, I've called several preachers and blah, blah. I said, you didn't call the right one. I said, are you sure God told you to call me? I don't even know how the lady got my phone number. She called me on my cell phone. I don't know how the lady get my phone number, but she called me. And, you know, I don't, and those of you, some of you know, if it come up and I don't know you, if your name don't come up when it rang in my phone, you're going to have to leave me a message. Because I don't know you. I got all, every one of y'all in here, if you've ever called me, I put your name in. So now you can call me from now on. I go, oh, that's Jasmine. Hey, Jasmine. But if you call me and it's just a number, that's what they got voicemail for. Now, once I go, and don't, it says, so don't call me and don't say nothing. Call and say, hey, Reverend, this is so-and-so. Call me back. And then I go, oh, okay. And then it said, do you wish to save contact? Don't your phone ask you that. Create new contact. Yes. Now put your name in. Now you good. Lady called me. She said, is this Reverend Mitchell? I said, yes, it is. She said, no. She said, this Candace Daddy? I said, yes. She said, well, I know your daughter, and I've been to your church a couple of times. She said, but the Lord led me to call you. I said, man, what's your name? And I won't say it because all y'all related somehow. And she said, my son is in jail. They charged him with, she said, I know you used to be a policeman and blah, blah, blah. And I listened. I said, man, what? I pulled over because I was driving. I said, man, what can I do for you? She said, the Lord told me to ask you to pay his bail. Now, I can't tell y'all what I said at first. No, I can't. I said, okay. I said, are you sure about that? She said, yes. I said, how much is it? She said, it's $250. I said, $250. I said, okay. When I got down there, it was $500. I said, okay. So the man said, can I ask you a question, the bondsman? Why are you doing this? I said, because the lady told me that the Lord told her to ask me. He said, she could be lying. I said, that's on her. That's on her. He said, well, how are you going to get your money back? I said, sir, I don't chase money. Money finds me. I'm serious. You know, y'all, I mean, you don't have to believe me. I can show you the receipt. But my point is this. Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of them, you've done it to me. Jesus said, just serve. I bless everything and break it. Y'all ain't getting it. I see how you're looking at me. I'm just telling you, you want to change your life. From this moment on, every time you get something, bless it and break it. Watch what God will do. You will always get back more than you gave out. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I don't have to guarantee it. He guarantees it. Pressed down, running over. Isn't that what he said? Men will pour into your bosom because you just blessed it and broke it and walk away from it. Don't go back to my, look, I did this for you 3 years ago and I ain't, walk away from it. Don't chase money. It'll come to you. It'll come after you. You'll go to your mailbox and get a check from the mortgage company, the insurance company. A friend, somebody who did owe you something 10 years ago, finally their ship came in. And they remembered, man, you know what? That guy gave me $200 20 years ago. He didn't give you no interest on it, but it was $200, so it's $200. Trust me in this. I'm just trying to teach y'all a foundational lesson. It works. It works. All right, watch what he goes on further to say. How much time? Oh, we're in good shape. He says, watch this now. You can ask, verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name. Watch this now. And I will do it because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. What Jesus is saying is, me doing this in you, for you, through you, makes my daddy happy. And I will tell you again and again that you want to be God pleasers, that God would get the glory out of everything we do. Let your light so shine that when men see, your Father in heaven gets the glory. Jesus says, I'll do it for you, not because of you, but because my daddy gonna get the glory. How many of you have been blessed in spite of yourself? You know why? Because God's gonna get the glory. He says, you know, most of us can say to God on any given day, Lord, I am not worthy. You know, this is, Lord, you done gone over the top. But he said, it ain't about you. He said, my daddy's gonna get the glory. Because how many of you have ever had somebody come to you and you know underneath their tone what they're really saying is, how in the world you pull this off? They'll say to you, man, that's a blessing. And they really want to say, but you just filed bankruptcy 2 years ago. You just got out of prison. How you get hired by FedEx? Didn't you get a DUI? Didn't you get caught up in that drug sting and now you working for the government? That's what they really want to say. But they just look at you got a new job? You work well? You building a house for somebody? No, for me and my family. And they really want to say, how in the world? And you can't wait till they ask you, can you? So you can tell them the Lord did it. Because he said, I'll move in houses I didn't build. I would eat off trees I didn't plant. I drink from wells I didn't dig. See, you got to want to live it. That's your sure objective. That was your detailed desire to God. You said to God, Lord, you know all about me. I know I got a record. I know I got a credit score that's negative. But Lord, I need a house for my family. Lord, I need a job to feed my children. Lord, I need a place to call. You know, God don't have no problem. God knows you did it. How do you plead? Not guilty. And always do plead. Don't go to court just to say you're guilty. That's wasting the time. Go in there and say not guilty. You have two options, guilty or not guilty. How do you choose to plead? Not guilty, Your Honor. Let the Commonwealth put its case on. Amen. I used to write tickets to people. I'd give them a summons. And I said, listen, when you come to court, plead not guilty. They look at me and say, well, why are you helping me? Trust me. Don't go in there and say guilty because he's going to hit the gavel and say, well, $75 cost court. Move to the next. Tell not guilty. Make me do my job again. Oh, I didn't lose much. Your Honor, this offense occurred in Dinwiddie County on the 23rd of January. And I did my job. But the fact of the matter is, God knows you guilty. How do you know that, Pastor? Because all have sinned. Now, let's just ask ourselves, do we not have houses? Yes. Do we not have cars? Yes. Did he not heal our body? Yes. But we are guilty. But God said, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because my daddy going to be glorified. It makes the devil mad as the devil when God blesses y'all. The devil's sitting there going, why he keep doing that? God is sitting there glorified that you got that job anyway. The devil done gone in there and told him, read your record twice. Some of us been hired and then they called us in 6 months later and said, listen, we just got your results back. We need to see you. God said, be not afraid. I'll fix it. This is just a trick of the devil. How many of you have ever been waylaid by the devil? And God told you, don't worry about it. He just trying. Don't you fret. I got you. I got you. You recovered from your illness and then relapsed. You were in church praising God 6 weeks ago for the recovery. And now you got and the devil is saying, aha. And God said, I got you. Don't even worry about that. Take the test. Let's take the medicine again. I'm still God. Amen. Look like your finances were finally turning around. Things are getting caught up. And then the car breaks down. The roof start leaking. The furnace go out. And you say to yourself, oh, come on. God said, oh, I'm coming. Matter of fact, I'm already here. Don't forget what you did last time. Didn't you ask me last time? Then ask me again. God had no problem doing sequels. Yeah. Restoration part 2, the comeback.
Restoration part three, the deliverance. Restoration part four, the winners. God ain't got no problem with it. God said, I'll keep making these things. If Arnold Schwarzenegger can keep coming back, I'll be back too. God said, I ain't got no problem with it. Ask me anything and I'll do it. You know what the problem with most of us is? We don't ask him. Then we try to throw up this scripture. But you said the Father knows I have needed these things before even I asked. He said, but you still should ask. Why do you think babies cry? Because they want to eat. They want to get that diaper off of them. They want, nobody in this room should not enjoy these benefits. Because you're the any ones. Anyone who believes will do. All things are possible. Watch this. And he says, not just average things, not mediocre things, but greater. Listen to me, saints. We should be living like nobody's business. We are many generations removed from the elementary principles of the believer. We have seen the hand of God. We should be riding high. He said, listen, not just average stuff. Greater stuff. Nobody should be hungry. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Nobody in this country should ever go to bed at night hungry. Nobody in this country should sleep in a box. Nobody in this country should not have a pair of shoes to put on their feet, a decent jacket in the winter, be able to get a haircut and a shave. Because we can do greater than that. We're past the days when people got to stand in big arms like that man sitting at Solomon's porch. We see people and we try to look the other way. I've always said that if you see it and you have to make an extra effort to avoid it, you just violated a ministry. When you look and go, I can't stand to look at that, you just missed ministry. And don't make the excuse, I can't feed all of them. Feed him. Feed him. Clothe him. Take the coat off your back. You got another one home? Amen. God's saying, I'm trying to give you an opportunity to do greater things. Some of us have not done anything. It ain't because we didn't have the opportunity. We sped up, took another route, bless it and break it, and watch what God will do in your life. He said, anybody, that, you don't have to be a minister, a trustee. You don't have to be a school teacher to teach. He said, anybody who believes in me, this is the potential of ministry in overdrive. Think of what our church could do. With just us, if everybody in this room today left here and said, I'm going to bless something and break something today. Remember how we live. How do we live? One day at a time. So y'all should have answered that. That was, I didn't just ask that for me to answer it. I didn't give y'all a chance. Thank you, minister. How do we live? That's right. So every day, if you get up and say, you know what, today, one of my detailed desires is to bless and break at least three things. And God, here are the three things I'm going to bless and break. And God's listening. And he said, okay, I will provide for you based on your request. Lord, I want to bless. I've been noticing this gentleman on my way to work. Today, Lord, I'm going to slow down and ask him, sir, how can I bless you? I've noticed this lady when she drops her kids off every day. She looks like something's not right. I'm going to befriend her. I'm going to get all up in her Kool-Aid. See, you know what? You just strike me. Now, don't go up there and tell me, look like you need help. Just say hi. You know, you just have an interesting face. My name is Yvette. What's yours? I've been noticing. I don't even know your name. And watch what happens. Because when you have a spiritual intent, God will bring about a spiritual result. Now, if you're just going to let it break bad and be nosy, God ain't in that.
Your father ain't getting no glory out of you trying to make nobody feel bad. Trust me. Next time you stand in front of your closet and say, my clothes keep getting wrinkled, take some of them out. Bless it and break it. We all know somebody who our size. We all know somebody who could use these babies. You know, these babies are growing up fast. All them baby clothes, we ain't planning on having no more, is we? I got my first no. I just needed another one. I'm working my way over here now. Okay, so all them baby clothes, instead of stuffing them in the dresser and stuffing them in the dresser, take them out. And say, Pastor, we're going to have a baby day. See the family life coordinator, say, Sister Antrim, go to Pastor and ask him, can we have a baby giveaway day? And we can go down to the shelter, to Miriam's house, or anywhere, and just walk in with nice clothes folded up neatly, not in the garbage bag, and say, we come from the Greater Brookville Church. Can you all use these? We can do research and find out where young ladies are going to have their babies. And if it means we have to load up the van one day and drive to Richmond, we got a cargo van. A couple of deacons get in the van, drive to Richmond. That ain't local. It's ministry. Go to Richmond and say, listen, we came from Lynchburg, Virginia. I'm Brother so-and-so, and we have baby clothes. Can you all use them? We broke it. And we get back in the van, go home. We ain't got to be in the newspaper. We ain't got to be on the television. We just did it. Every day, do greater works, and your Father be glorified. Instead of you complaining about not having enough space in your house, make space by doing ministry. Really, how many blenders do you need? How many pair of shoes? How many? God is saying, listen, you can do greater. Just us. No, we got harvest day coming up. You need to be planning. Man, I know what I'm going to bring. And don't be trying to short side a blessing. Listen, because if you short side your blessing, you short side your blessing. Amen. Go big for God. And watch what God will do. You know what you paid for it. So what? I ain't getting this away. Okay, you ain't doing nothing with it. Do greater. Now, how much time I got? Almost there. He said, watch this now. He said, yes, ask anything. He doubles it up to us. He's saying, listen, please understand me, anything. Yeah, he said, listen, I was serious. Ask me anything and I'll do it. Listen, I said this several weeks ago, I think it was in May. We were talking and I said this to you all. And some of us frowned and some of us said, well, maybe he's right. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that not many of your disciples are asking me about vision for your church. God said, if we can get all of y'all to ask vision, I'll do it. He said, you got a handful that are praying vision, but not everybody. So if all of us ask God and he says he'll do it, we could be gone. We could have what we ask him because he said everybody's asking. That's a unified foundation. We actually, the Lord revealed, you have some folk praying that I don't move you. Lord, don't, he crazy. The Lord shares with me because I need to know him. I'm the leader. God said, you've got some contrary folk in that church. You got Egypt dwellers in your church. He said, I'll show them to you. Because you do know that your actions speak louder than your words. Pull up the financial report. I'll show them to you. Look at your attendance. I'll show them to you. Look at your Bible study. I'll show them to you. See, a lot of times, you don't have to try to fool me. God will reveal you anyway. He said, you got Egypt dwellers. Who are Egypt dwellers? Folk who want to go back. There are folk who, there are three kinds of Egypt dwellers. One, the kind that didn't never want to leave. The one that want to go back. And the one that says, your fault that we out here. That's three kinds. They exist everywhere. It's not just Brookville. It's everywhere. They're one that never wanted to leave. You can rest assured that if some folk could have got to Pharaoh, they'd have told Moses, got to Pharaoh, they'd have told him what time Moses said we leaving. You know, there's always somebody going to go tell. Look here, Pharaoh, you ought to know that we're supposed to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now you might want to be ready. If they could have got to Pharaoh. And then you got the ones who were dropping breadcrumbs. So Pharaoh will know how to find them. Just leave a little trail, they'll find us. Take us home back to where we belong. God said, nah. And we do that in the ministry. We got folk that are trying to leave breadcrumbs so we can find our way back in case this don't work. Our God is a forward God. He said, all you do is ask. And he doubles it up. He said, yes, ask me anything and I'll do it. That which is undone is unasked for. I know that's not grammatically proper, but I'm just throwing it out there. If it's not done, we didn't ask for it. And do not assume that God is just going to bless us just cause. We're living without because we didn't ask. You have not. And don't mess up the next part of that verse when you said, and you, if you did ask, you asked me wrong. That's selfish intent rather than spiritual. You got to be selfish. Don't do it. Be spiritual. Say, Lord, when you do this in my life, this is what I'm going to do as a result. Why would God give us greater to do lesser? It's not going to work. We can't just say, Lord, we want to have a bigger church than them. Well, if I give you a bigger ministry than them, then you got to do what they're doing times two. Because to whom much is given. How many of you have ever asked God to give you increase and then you didn't know what to do with the increase? Amen. Not everybody going to raise their hand, but it's an honest assessment. We asked God to take us to another place. And when we got there, we didn't know what to do with it. That's part of your sure objective. You say, Lord, when I get there, here's what I'm going to do. You can't say, Lord, if I win the lottery, I'm going to pay off all my bills. Well, you should have been paying your bills anyway. What are you going to do with the overflow? Because you can't have $28 million worth of bills. That's impossible. There's no way anybody in this room got $28 million. Now, so you say to God, okay, Lord, when I win the lottery. See, it's the language too. It's not if, it's when. Lord, when I win the lottery, here's what I'm going to do. Here's my sure objective. I am going to, and write it down. Write it down. And don't try to fake God out by saying the first thing I'm going to do is give 10% to the church. Because 10% of $28 million is more than some of us can write on a piece of paper. You'd have a heart attack trying to go, now how many zeros I need to put on here? What you didn't already, first of all, you got to calculate, you lost 43% of that to the government. So 28 is not what you're going to get anyway. You're only going to get like about 13 point something, really, unless if you take the lump sum, you still ain't going to get so much. But you have to understand, God doesn't bless us a lot of times because we don't have sure objectives. We don't have detailed instruction. We're saying to God, Lord, if you open up the windows of heaven, pull me out a blessing, this is what I'm going to do. You did one day's worth of thing. You're going to have that for a lot of older. God said, no, you're not even sure. You don't even know what to do with that. He said, but if you ask me, I'll do it. But you got to have details. God loves details. And as you're building your foundation, then what are you going to do with this new foundation? Amen. How many of you remember moving in your new house and thinking you would never fill up all them rooms? Remember that? Walk around and go, man, we finally got a lot of space. And within like a couple of months, you got to go in like this now. God, how we get all that? Because you work to fill up those rooms. God is saying, okay, if I give you this, how are you going to fill up that room? And some of us said we weren't going to fill up that room. We said we want to keep space. And we did what we had to do to keep space. But what God is saying to you is when you ask me something and I give it to you, what's your sure objective? When you get to that place, listen, when they got to the promised land, one of the biggest problems with being in a promised land is not understanding purpose in your promise. They were there now. Okay, what are we going to do now? So God says, since you have nothing else to do, I'm going to send enemies so you have to fight. Had they said to God, Lord, when we get there, here's what we're going to do. They wouldn't have had to fight. They had nothing else to do. And they kept whining and complaining. So God said, I tell you what, I'm going to keep you sure. I'm going to make sure you fight for what you got now. And part of it was they exposed themselves. What was one of the things that the 10 liars said? Well, there are enemies there. And they're too big for us. God said, okay, well, we'll fight them then. The reality for most of us is we don't have detail and instruction. So God says, I'll do it now. How much time we got? I got to stop. All right. Now, the last thing I want to show you is that these things are ripe and provident, because when God said this, he was saying it to a future church. But they're ready for picking. Now, remember, the harvest is plentiful, but the work. This is a ripe and provident moment for us. God is saying, okay, I set this for you long time ago, and now that you're here, get it. How many of you ever gone to an orchard or the berry patch? What do you always pick? The ripe stuff. You don't pull up the people plant, tell them, well, boy, I'm going to take this one home, and then when it come in, I have my... No, you skip all of the like strawberries. I like strawberries. In Petersburg, they have a couple of them. You can actually eat them while you pick them. From what I understand, one of them up here, they won't let you eat them while you pick them. That ain't no fun. So, I mean, come on, why are we out here? We can't eat some of them. In Petersburg, you can eat all you want. They don't even care. They'd be like, try a few of them. First time I went out there, you know, I was trying to be diligent, didn't want to be a thief. I wasn't eating none. The man said, hey. I turned around and said, yeah, he said, you missing out on the best part of picking strawberries. I said, excuse me? He said, you're not eating none of them. This the owner. He said, you're not eating any of them. I said, I'm going to pay for them first. He said, oh, no, man. He said, look here, you got to eat them. He said, how you know they're going to be any good if you don't eat them? Old white guy with a big old wad in his mouth. I mean, he's setting me up to shoot me. He said, look here, man. He said, look at all them people. And I really wasn't. I was just trying to go, you know. Man, everybody was like that. People coming back with rashes. I told my wife, I said, we're going to eat strawberries. Man, I took the kid. The kids had a ball. I said, man, wait a minute. They're going to weigh y'all when we leave. Maybe, but, you know, you pick the ripe stuff. This is ripe. Don't leave it on the vine. Take what God is saying. Pick it. And then make use of it. Smash up some of them. Make strawberry this and peach that. And you know, the reality is God said, I give you a providential word for a purposeful time in your life that you'll take advantage of it. We are languishing, laying down in lack, L-A-C-K. And we're not supposed to. We're not asking. Let's ask him and remind him, Lord, you said, but we got to do our part. We got to be detailed. Lord, make us a greater ministry, because this is what we'll do with greater ministry. Lord, we're going to feed 500. We're going to open up a kitchen and feed. We're going to open up a closet and clothe. We're going to open a store and buy without cost. God says, okay, how do you need to get there? And I said this to you before, and I pray you pay attention. From here on in, here's another bonus for you. Not only are we going to break and bless, but from now on, when you talk to people, talk to them with authority. Say, here's what I need you to do. When you go to the bank to get a loan, don't go in there and say, well, I was just wondering. Go in there and say, here's what I need you to do. When the bank officer, when you talk to them, say, here's what I need. I need $5,000 because this is what I'm going to. Instead of sitting there going, well, I mean, how much can I get? You're not sure. You're not even. Walk in. When you go to your job, if you want to be off to go to Bible study, walk in and say, your manager say, listen, here's what I need. I need to be able to go to Bible study on Thursday. Bible study starts at 6 o'clock. I need to leave here. You know, I mean, don't be sitting there going, I was just wondering. No, that's all right. Never mind. Be not dismayed because of the look on their faces, but be confident. When you talk to people, you are the authority of God. Y'all ain't listening to me. Don't let them kids distract you. The devil trying to get you to miss something. Talk with authority. You are the voice of the word. And they'll see the word in you. You can change people's lives by walking and talking in the word. Somebody said, man, you confident. I ain't never seen nobody do that. And they let you do it. Yeah. How come they letting you off every Thursday at 5:15? Because I told them I need to go to Bible study. And then don't not go to Bible study. Don't ask God to bless you and then lie with the blessing. Say, God, if you give me this, I'm going to do this. Do it. Lord, if you open up this opportunity for me, I'm going to create a ministry for this. Or Lord, I'm going to do this. And when God does that, do it. He said, because if you ask me, I'll do it. Can you imagine what your life will be like with that kind of power? How many have ever had to tell yourself, if I had known back then what I know now, now is your now. Now that you know it, keep the book open. When you pray at night, if you can't remember it verbatim, God doesn't care about verbatim. He knows what you're trying to tell it. Lord, you said, if I ask you, you'll do it. You said you've given me authority. You said the power of life and death is in my tongue. So I got to learn how to talk different. I got to stop being a whiner and be a word driver. I got to talk to you like you talk to me. How many of you ever told somebody, don't talk to me like that? You ain't going to talk to me that way. Or how we say, you ain't going to talk to me no any kind of way. Then you got to learn how to not talk to God no any kind of way. You talk. Don't be afraid to let your children know you're praying over them. Say, come here, boy, we need to pray. Instead of saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with that child. Bring him in there and say, come here, son, we need to pray. Because you're about to make some bad decisions. And before I have to lay hands on you the other way, I'm going to lay hands on you like this. Oh, excuse me. And let him know, because you know what he's going to say? My mama's a praying woman. She ain't playing. Look him in his eyes and say, I got dreams for you. Amen. Look at him. Tell him. Son, I don't want your pants falling off you. I got dreams for you. I didn't go through all I went through to see you become nothing. I didn't raise you to go visit you in jail. I wanted to come to your penthouse apartment. I wanted to brag about you. I don't want to be telling folks, oh, he's sick and you in a juvenile detention home. I didn't raise you that way. I didn't raise you to be afraid. Don't come running here to a moment. Them boys after me. Fight. I'd rather you fight and lose so you can learn how to win. Come running here crying to me. I'm a woman. What you crying to me for? You're a man. It's a man in every one of them. Inside of these boys, next generation men, look in his eyes. Tell him, son, you ain't got to bow down to nobody. They're all bigger than me, because not in Sean's case. He's bigger than everybody else. But you got to look in their eyes and say, God, I want my son to be. And then tell him, you know, I've been praying to God that you be this. I'm believing God for it. Mama, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You know why most of our children live beneath their privilege? Because we've never helped them realize their potential. They don't know what to ask for, so let's tell them. So, you know, we need a lawyer in this family because all your cousins stay in trouble. You don't think Barack Hussein Obama just woke up one day and decided to be president, do you? Somebody spoke into him. He had a good pastor. Y'all can say what y'all want about Jeremiah. Jeremiah Wright's a good pastor. He got his radical opinion. But you have to understand something. God says, ask me for your daughters, your wives. You know, husbands and wives, we don't talk enough with word. We need to look across that table at dinner sometime and say, you know what, honey? I've been praying to God that I'd be a better husband. I've been praying to God that you'd be a better wife. What's wrong with me now? Ain't nothing wrong with you, baby. But I see in you a greater mother. I see, you know, and you imagine what that'll do to your husband or wife? Because the Bible says, let's speak to each other in exhortations and encouragements. Even in our ministry, talk to another brother and say, bro, you know what? I've been praying for you, man. I noticed that you're not doing this. Or you know, I noticed you're not. Man, listen, I've been praying for you. You know, we pray for a lot of things. But do you know the best thing we can do is pray ye one for the other. Yes. And say, hey, man, I'm praying for you. What are you praying me for? I'm praying that God would do thus and thus. And you know what that brother know? Every time he see you, he'll remember what you said about that prayer. Jesus said, ask me. See, what we're missing out on is the opportunity to activate the word of God. And when you activate the word of God, the anointing flows with it. That's why he said you have not. You didn't activate. How many of you have ever got a credit card in the mail? You know, the one you sent for. Yes, you did. What does that little label say? Before you using this card, it must be activated from your home phone number. Why? So it doesn't fall into unauthorized hands. And if you don't activate it, it ain't no good. It's no good to know. You got it. You sent for it for whatever reason you had. So if you're going to use it, now again, I'm not advocating excessive debt. Use your card if you have to. That's fine. However you pay you. But what I'm saying to you is you have to activate this word. Call him from your home station and say, Lord, I'm getting ready to do something and I'm going to need the word. You know, we ask God for traveling mercies only when we travel. How about every day? How many of us really pray every morning for traveling mercies? You traveling? See, don't wait till you're going on a trip. God said, I ain't heard from you before. You've been making it on your own. Not that he talks like that. But I'm saying, you got to learn how to talk to God all the time about everything. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he will. So what God is saying is, use that. And I'll cover you. Lord, I'm getting ready to run up here to Walmart. I sure need your prayers. Lord, I'm getting ready to do. You know, when you're walking around the house, you can be praying. You know, every time you flip an electric switch, you got thousands of volts that can come back at you. When you turn on that gas stove, when you get in the car, when you reach up on a ladder, you need the blessings of God. That ladder can slip. Any of y'all ever fell off a ladder? It's a long ways down, boy. I tell you, you can't stop. You ever try to stop in midair? It don't work. And how many of you ever fell and said, now that was stupid. I had no business reaching. But the reality is, God says, ask me. When you talk to your children, watch what happens to your children when you speak to them with word. You cannot for the rest of your life miss this active word. It's right here at your disposal. Every one of you. Anyone who believes. Watch this. How many of you believe? See? You got active power right there in your belief. You have just signaled heaven that you're back on the job. Lord, I'm ready. And remember, we've been doing it for years, but last Sunday we corrected that foolish behavior. We don't want to say, anyway you bless me, I'll be satisfied. We want to tell God what we want. We're going to be detailed. I don't know, anyway, because if you put in there, you know, my wife and I, we've done it for years, not as much here lately. But she'll say, what you want for dinner? I say, anything. I don't know, whatever you cook. And then when she cooks something, I say, I ain't want that. She said, well, you know what? I ask you. Oh, she can be feisty. Don't let her fool y'all. She said, I ask you, what did you want? You said anything. That's what I cook. Look like you won't be eating. You know what I do, Deacon Anderson? I wait till she go to bed and I go eat. I'm hungry now because I'm lazy. But you can't say anything. When people ask you, tell them. So, you know what I'd really. And now, sometimes folk will be blown away by your desires. And that's why I can't do that. And you say, well, then you're not the one supposed to bless me. You ever notice that? There are some people that are not the one that's supposed to bless you. But if you keep putting it out there, God will send such as you requested. All right, let me give you one more example. Jesus said, go into yonder village. You will find there a colt tied up. You think that's the only colt in town? They probably walked by a lot of them, but they knew that wasn't the one supposed to bless us. They probably walked by two or three walking by themselves. Old horse out on the stroller said, let's get that one. He said, that is not what he said. They went to that man, and the man said, can I help you? They said, we need this, the master. He said, go right ahead. See, whenever it is of God, it works, just like he said. That man didn't go, well, how much y'all going to give me for my horse? You don't get a horse for free. You don't tug on Superman cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't, y'all don't even know the song yet. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger and you don't mess around with Jim. Y'all ain't no good. Bless you in them.
So what is important for us? We're gonna learn something. It's provident. It's right. The word is ready to be activated. It's ready for you. Don't sit around here whining and complaining about your life not being complete and you not having. Activate the word. He says, yes, I will. If you ask me anything. How many of y'all got some anything things you want to go before God with? Amen. Because you got a fresh word, didn't you? Man, I got some talking I need to do with the Lord. Grandma was right that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything and anything go together. Don't they, y'all? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, after this teaching, your life should never be the same. Amen. It won't. Not if you take advantage of it. I got some stuff I'm going to talk about on the way home today. Amen. I'm going to tell on some people, too. Amen. Lord, our Father, we thank you for the time we've shared together. We thank you, Lord, for these who gathered with us, these who began with us. We pray, God, that these words of life will indeed be activated in the hearts and the minds of these believers. Lord, stir our souls that we might move to spiritual foundations and help us, Lord, to bring you glory in all that we do. We're going to remember, Lord, to bless and break all week long. And Lord, we know that we'll come back with stirring testimonies as how the Lord has used us tremendously, because you said that which we've seen you do, we can do greater. And Lord, we're looking forward to a great week and greater. In the name of Jesus, we do pray, asking again that you forgive us of our sins and have mercy upon us. This is our prayer. This is our faith. And the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you, children. We get ready to.